All right, Psalms 107. And before I read that first verse, would you join me as we make this confession together? Words on the screen. We invite you to confess it with us if you're in agreement. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." I don't know what translations you may have. We're using the New King James. Would you read that verse out loud with me together once again? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." His mercy, that's actually a very rich Hebrew word. It can refer to faithful love, covenant love, loyal love. But his mercy, mercy has the idea of God not giving us, withholding what we deserve. Our sins deserve judgment because God says the penalty for sin is death. But thank God, because of Jesus, we can receive mercy instead of judgment. And if we have received the mercy of God through faith in his Son, let's thank God. Thank the Lord. So today, here is the message, again, not just as an event on a third Sunday or fourth Thursday in November, but as a lifestyle for Christians, because if we have received the mercy of God, we can always give God thanks. We have many reasons to thank the Lord. But so I like to call it, instead of thanksgiving, thanks living. So today the message is a similar theme. I've shared a similar title, at least. The message is different, but the title of thanks living is blessed living. Thanks living is blessed living. Would you say that with me? Thanks living is blessed living. So for Christians, it is a way of life. Gratitude, thankfulness to God, saturating every aspect of our lives. Now, this verse gives us a good reason to thank God. I thank God for good circumstances. I thank God for answered prayer. I thank God for when I'm in great health and everything seems to be going my way. I thank God. But I can thank God when circumstances aren't good, because he is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. When people are mean, I can still thank God that he is good. When life is hard, I can still thank God that he is good. So that's what I mean. It's thanks living, not just a occasional event. And I thank God that he is, if we know the Lord, he's with us, he's for us, and we'll get to be with him forever. Thank God. Thanks living is blessed living. Would you tell someone next to you, thanks living is blessed living? Let's go on to verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, this could have been written in the context of physical danger and warfare. But the Lord, Jesus, redeems us from the enemy of our souls, the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, the one who walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus redeems or rescues us and frees us from our enemy, Satan. Thank God he redeemed us from the clutches of the enemy. If we're in Christ, the devil has no claim on us. We don't belong to him. And so Jesus, the word redeemed can actually even have the idea of a ransom. Like we've been kidnapped and held hostage, and the devil demanded a ransom be paid. But really God did, because he's the one who said the judgment, the penalty for sin is death. But thank God he loved us so much, he paid the debt for us. and he paid the ransom with the life's blood of his own sinless son on the cross when Jesus suffered and died so that we can be free from sin and death. He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And 3 days later, something happened on that third day. Jesus came up out of that grave alive, and he's alive forevermore, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he has both the authority and the ability to redeem us from sin and darkness when we simply turn from unbelief, turn from our own way to put our faith and trust in our heart, to believe with our heart that Jesus is the sinless, crucified, and resurrected Lord. And however that may come out, in the Bible, a man on the cross just said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today, assuredly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Another man just simply said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Wouldn't even raise his head. Jesus said, that man went home right with God. So however it may be worded, it has to just come from the faith in our heart. We turn to him. Would you look at verse? There's a little kind of like a chorus that goes through this psalm. I want to show you just a couple of them, maybe three of them. Would you look at verse 8, Psalms 107, verse 8. We have good reason. We have multiple reasons to give God thanks. Verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry with goodness." We can have holy desires. We can have a holy hunger, and God will fill us. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Verse 14 says, "He, the Lord, brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces." He has broken in the chains of spiritual death, and one day on what some would call that great getting up morning, the chains of physical death, even over our physical bodies, will be broken because the spiritual chains were broken. So he goes on in verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then just verse 19, if you drop down to verse 19, talks about those who were in trouble. And it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble." That's a good thing to do when we're in trouble. "And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Verse 21. Once again, would you read this verse out loud with me? If we're on the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Ready? "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then verse 22 says, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his multiple blessings. Today, I'd like to just share three reasons why the scripture tells us thanks living is blessed living. Thanks living is blessed living. So would you turn back to Psalm 100? If you're 107, just to Psalm 100, I'll read the last two verses of that psalm. Thanks living is blessed living. Thanksgiving is such an important truth all through the Word of God, all throughout. Verse 4, Psalm 100, verse 4. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him." I like when it says be, it's not just I did something occasionally. It's a more of a lifestyle. Enter with thanksgiving and then be thankful. Just let that be your overall default. Let that be your spiritual mindset. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Verse 5, why? "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations." Thank God for truth. There is so much confusion today. There actually is an absolute truth, and it's God's word and Jesus, who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So thanks living is blessed living first with God. Thanks living is blessed living with God. Because the scripture says here, we enter into his presence, we enter into his gates where the Lord is with thanksgiving. It's the proper protocol to enter the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So thanks living is blessed living first with God. Genuine gratitude to God, genuine thankfulness to God draws us closer to him. And if I've learned anything in the Christian life and walking with the Lord for a few years, here it is. The key to enjoying and living in the full blessing of God, even for our trials, troubles, failures, having his grace and his blessings, the key is to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. That is the key to everything, every blessing to live in is staying close to him. And the Bible tells us that thanksgiving keeps us close to him, draws us close to him. On Sunday evening, we had a little singspiration here. Now, I don't know the gentleman's name, but during the little time, we were just sharing some thanks. And someone said, I hope I get it, Greg, might be a little bit, the idea will be right, even if I don't have it verbatim. He said, I've been attending singspirations for some time, and he said, the Spirit is here, or I feel the Spirit here. Now, God's Spirit is everywhere, but there is a manifest presence of God where he reveals himself, and you know you're in the presence of God, and it's like his awesomeness, his power, his greatness, his love and mercy, his goodness. There's just something about, that's what I mean, the presence of God, and gratitude draws us close to him. My goodness, don't you see why the devil wants to make us so ungrateful? Just to keep us distant from the one we need to stay close to. So the key to living in the full blessings of God and enjoying his blessings. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Aren't you glad he's not wishy-washy? He's not one way yesterday and another tomorrow. He is a rock. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can count on him, and he is our stability. And so the closer we live to him, the more we experience that blessing of just his grace and his mercy and his goodness, because he is good and his mercy endures forever. Would you turn with me to the New Testament book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. I want to give you a scripture before we get there, actually two of them. But if you just hold your spot, Philippians chapter 4, and for those of you writing notes, we'll put these on the screen so you can write them down, because thanksgiving is a spiritual safeguard for us as well, to not take the Lord's blessings for granted. The Bible says this, again, if you just want to write the scripture reference down, we'll put it on the screen. It's in Romans chapter 1. I'll begin reading verse 20. A spiritual safeguard. It says, for since the creation of the world, his, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or his nature, so that they are without excuse. And here's the key, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. That's so sad, and it's dangerous. We want to be thankful for God's blessing. He said they knew God, but they didn't glorify him, nor were thankful. And then it goes on in that same verse, and it says, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The fool is not someone who's just like unintelligent or dumb. The Bible teaches that foolishness is living like there's no God. The fool has said in his heart, maybe not with his mouth, but the fool said in his heart, there is no God. We live like there's no God. And that's foolish. Wisdom is there is a God, and we need him, and we want to be in close fellowship with him. So thanks living is blessed living first with God. I'll give you two more in just a moment if you want to write this scripture down. Some of you are familiar with it. I'll read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 17, where Jesus went through an area one day we now many referred to as the West Bank. It was called Judea and Samaria in the Bible. And in Luke chapter 17, When Jesus entered one of these villages, the Bible says in verse 12, Luke 17, 12, then as he, Jesus, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. They had some kind of a skin disease, and they were supposed to keep themselves distant from others, isolated. And so that's why they were at a distance. And the Bible says that Jesus entered, there were 10 lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to the 10, go, show yourselves to the priest. He didn't explain anything. He just said, this is what you do. And thank God they did it. They didn't, but I don't understand. How's that going to heal me? They didn't question it. They just did it. So it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Sometimes we just need to go ahead and step out and be obedient to the Lord. And then he meets us in our obedience. So he just said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. There were 10 of them. 9 of them just went on and did whatever. I don't know why. The Bible does not elaborate. But I'll just relate it to our day, okay? Not to the 9, but to our day. Pride will keep us from thanking God. A spirit of entitlement, you owe me, will keep us from being thankful to God. One man, he was a Samaritan, a different ethnicity. He came back, and here's what the scripture records about him. The Bible says, again, Luke 17, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, notice they were cleansed and healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. How did he glorify him? He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. That's how he glorified him. He glorified him by giving him thanks. And then he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, Jesus said to this one who was grateful, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. He received something that the other 9 did not because he was close. See, gratitude brought him into the presence of God in the flesh, and he was grateful. He glorified him. They all were cleansed. They all experienced a healing, but he was made well. It's the same word that's translated saved. He received wellness in his spirit, probably soul and body. That's a great blessing. So thanks living is blessed living, first with God. Before I give you these last two, I won't take as long on those. Over the years, I've read a devotion called Daily Guidepost. There was a lady named Julia Attaway. And just because I've read, she's one of the contributors over the years. She lives in New York. She's gone through 10 years of just family issues with physical health, mental health, just a point of, she's been through a lot. Thankfully, it looks like she's turned a corner. I want to tell you what her prayer is this Thanksgiving. This is what she wrote. Thank you, Father, for the blessings I see and don't see, and for every cross that has helped me to seek you more fervently. Wow. If you could thank God for a wave that tosses you against the rock of ages, that's genuine gratitude. I say you, we. Thank God. Thanks living is blessed living. Would you say that with me? Thanks living is blessed living, first with God, and then secondly with ourselves. So with God, and then with ourselves. Did I ask you to turn to Philippians 4? Okay, Philippians chapter 4. I'll read a couple of verses here. Very familiar for many of you, just two. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Bible gives us these words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Let me pause. Be anxious for nothing. Let's be honest. Anyone else here battle anxiety on occasion? I mean, please. So he's going to give us a little prescription to help us overcome the anxiety. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Those two words are often the missing ingredient in our prayers. I'll be honest, I've complained not with thanksgiving, I've complained with doubting. I've complained with complaining. I mean, and I've prayed with complaining. I've prayed with everything else. And so he says, thanks for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's pause there. Prayer is a privilege. If we know God as our Father, I'm so thankful I can give him my requests. They're not maybe all answered the way I want, when I want, but he told me to make the request. So I put my request in. And with thanksgiving, I want to be more mindful of that. Always, always pray with thanksgiving, even when I'm anxious and troubled. Then, if we follow the prescription, the result is in verse 7, and the peace of God, his peace, the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If everything's going my way, I can understand that peace. But when there's turmoil, and I am battling fear and anxiety, and I can come to the Lord and lay it all out before him, pour my heart out to him with gratitude, and he gives his peace to guard my heart and my mind, that's beyond human comprehension. But it's not beyond human experience. Thank God, I don't have to understand it. If I experience it, I'm good. If I can have the peace of God to guard my heart and mind, I want to understand as much as I can, but if I don't understand it, it's fine with me. I just want to live in his peace that flows from his grace. So thanksgiving is often the missing ingredient. And thanksgiving, I want to ask you to help me here a moment. Thanksgiving is both an expression of our faith in God. And thanksgiving is also an exercise of our faith in God. So let me ask you this. What can we thank God for when we pray, even before the answer comes? Okay, I want to get your input, but can I lead the way? So give you a moment to think. The Bible says that the strength of sin is the law, and we feel that sting of the sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sistren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We can thank God for victory, because Jesus has already won the ultimate victory for us. So right in the midst of the battle, I can still sing, I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. So we can thank him before the answer. That's what I mean by an expression and an exercise of our faith. Anything else? What could we thank God for in prayer before we experience the breakthrough or the change or see the answer come, Linda? We can thank God for a loved one's salvation. Or even before that, because we can just thank God that it's his heart. The Bible says God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and to come to the truth and be saved. Thank you. Anyone else? Rick? We can thank God for healing because he is a healer, even when I'm struggling with the symptoms. Is that right? So we can thank God, David. Y'all were going to say, okay, all right. Well, that is a big one. And thank God, it's been a blessed week, but it's been a full week and a busy week. And then on top of it yesterday, I had to injure my back. And so if you see me doing a little like this, that's why. I got to use some wisdom. But I've been thanking the Lord because the Bible says we are fearfully, one translation I like it says, we are remarkably and wonderfully made. So I just praise the Lord. It has it. It's better. And but I believe healing is on the way. What else? Forgiveness, regardless of what we're going through, if we know the Lord, we are forgiven. Thank God we don't have to bear that burden. Linda? Melinda? That he's done it before. That if we've experienced God's past blessings in some area, thank God for the answered prayer before, and thank him for the answered prayer that's coming. Everything that is in accord with his will. And see, as this scripture talks about, we can live in that peace of God that passes all understanding. Is God anxious? Is God fearful? Is he worried? He's biting his fingernail. He's not doing any of that, is he? He's absolute peace. That's what I'm saying. Thanksgiving is blessed living with God. The closer I live in fellowship with him, I just look at it like the more of his presence that rubs off on me. And if he's not worried and anxious and fearful and fretful, I don't need to be either. So it's a blessing first with God, then with ourselves. I believe God programmed Thanksgiving into our well-being. Clarence told me, maybe it's been a few weeks or maybe a couple months ago, he went to a little health seminar. There's a local heart doctor here. And this doctor said, being grateful 10 minutes a day, at least four times a week, 10-4. 10 minutes a day, four times a week, can boost our immune system by up to 50%. Now, if you're sick, that doesn't mean you're ungrateful, all right? It just means let's add that in to whatever we're taking or vitamin. I take vitamins every day, but let's add gratitude in too, because if that boosts, I want a healthy immune system. We were out of the store yesterday afternoon, and I was walking down. I wanted to look at some shoes, and this young man was walking down the aisle. At least, in both of his hands. I turned around. I said, I'm going to go around this way. Kim looked at me and said, I know why you didn't go down that aisle. I said, yeah, you're right. I don't need to walk through that sneeze cloud right now. I'll do everything I can to keep myself well. So thanks living is blessed living, first with God, with ourselves, and then I believe when we're at peace and we're having that living in the blessing of God with ourselves, it can help us to better relate to others. So thanks living is blessed living with God, with ourselves, and then with others. Would you, if you have the book form, I have Philippians 4. It's just over across the page where I'm in Colossians 1. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to say anything out loud. But who in your life do you thank God for? Who do you thank God for that God has placed in your life? It might be a family member, maybe just a great friend, maybe a spiritual family member. But who do you thank God for? And I want to ask you this. If it's been a while, or if you never have, will you tell them? Will you just say, I just want to let you know I thank God for you? And you already see? Let's put the scripture into practice. If you're next to someone and you mean it, would you just tell them, would you turn to them and tell them, I thank God for you? Amen. I thank God for you, all of you. I thank God for you. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, how we can be thanks living is blessed living with others. I'll give you this and one last scripture and we're done. Then we'll celebrate and share communion together. Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says this. Therefore, as the elect of God, chosen, elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Would you say put on? Put on. So in other words, We don't just have all these virtues of Christ naturally. We have to make a choice, an act of our will. He says, put on, like we would put on clothing, what? Tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, long-suffering, patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Unforgiveness, like ingratitude, will hinder God's fullness of his grace and peace in our hearts. And we don't want that. We want to live in his blessings. So he says, let's put this on. But then above all, he says, this is verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. In other words, it ties all of these Christ-like virtues together, and it ties us together in a spirit of harmony and one accord. And then verse 15, the Bible says this, and let the peace of God rule. Here we go again. Notice, the peace of God, just like we read in Philippians, rule where? In your hearts. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a priceless, precious treasure? Peace in our hearts. So he says, above all, put on love, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called, notice, in one body, and be thankful. All of those virtues are in the context of a community of faith, of the Christian community. And he says, here's how you tie it all together, love and be thankful. And that's going to bring not only peace in your heart, it's going to help promote peace with one another. Now, I know the Bible says that as much as lies within you, if possible, be at peace with everyone. Some people may not want peace and you can't force it. But for everyone who wants it, if we're willing, I just believe if we're willing, God can work with that. I know he will. And if we're willing, we can take a step to one another. And so I can thank God for his blessings, for his goodness. I can thank him for what he's done in me and with me and for me. And I can thank him for you. And somehow that just being grateful to God for others in my life, maybe some people a little more challenging to get along with. And you know what? I might need them to help me grow in Christ's likeness. So God can use those relationships. And kind of like, if you say that person rubs me the wrong way, just think of it like some fine sandpaper. Lord, just smoothing down your edges. And maybe theirs too. But thanksgiving is blessed living. With God, with ourselves, and then with others. How many of you remember Condoleezza Rice? She served in administration for the government. She said something I read in one of the day planners I have, that not just a Christian publication, but it's appropriate, I believe, as followers of Jesus. This is what she said. It's a dangerous thing to ask why someone else has been given more. It is humbling and indeed healthy to ask why you have been given so much. Can we just be grateful for all that we have? I'd say I want to be grateful for what I haven't experienced. I want to be thankful for what I haven't had to go through. I thank God I don't have to go to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That alone will be enough for me to fall on my face and thank God. But it's so much more. It's not just mercy. It's goodness. It's grace. It's abundance. It's blessing forever. And I thank God. Last scripture, if you want to just write it down. You say, Brother Rocky, I'm going through a hard time, and I'm just hurt right now, or I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. We're all going to have those occasions. We're all going to battle that at times. We're going to be sad at times. We're going to be angry at times. We're going to be discouraged at times, frustrated, and just all of those. But even yet, if we know the Lord and we stay close to him and we give him thanks for his blessings and goodness, then even on those days and in those seasons and moments, I can still choose to live a life of thanksgiving. That's what I mean by thanks living. It's a choice. That's why the Bible says this, Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, by Christ, let us, notice How often? Let us continually, not just once a year, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's the sacrifice that pleases God, that we give Him praise by giving Him thanks first from our hearts and then letting it come out of our mouths. Even in, what was that, Brother Smitty? Even in the hard times, can't we thank God that in those hard times that He's still with us? He's with us. He loves us. He's for us. He's not going to give up on us. He's not going to abandon us. And when it's all said and done and the smoke clears, we're going to be with Him in paradise forever and everyone else who knows Him. Thanks living is blessed living. We might as well start enjoying some of it now by living in that truth. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Thanks living is blessed living. Father, we just want to come before You even right now with grateful hearts and say thank You. Lord, maybe for some it is that sacrifice of praise, and they're going through a difficult time. It's tough. And Lord, we come with no condemnation. We want to come with edification and encouragement and lift them up in prayer. I thank You with us even through the valley of the shadow of death, until we enter the light on the other side. You're with us. Lord, I thank You. Help us, Lord, to be a grateful people. Help us to not just have a pride or entitlement mentality that everyone owes me. Whether they owe it or not, if we receive it, help us to be grateful. And Lord, help us to count our blessings, because ultimately, every good blessing, every perfect gift and blessing comes from You. Before we sing this little chorus and share communion together, would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I just want to lift you up in prayer today. If you would say, Brother Rock, yeah, I am in one of those seasons. I am thankful to God, but I'll be honest with you right now, I'm struggling with that, giving thanks, because I just feel everything but gratitude. But if you want prayer right now, would you just lift your hand up? You don't need to do anything else, but just hold your hand up. Thank you so much. Lord, bless you. God 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 bless you. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters right now. My heart goes out to them. Lord, we can relate to some degree. Whatever they may be going through, You know exactly. They're here, and their heart's in the right place. They want to give You thanks, and I so appreciate that. Would You meet them right where they are at their point of need right now and just comfort them with Your love and presence and peace that passes all understanding, as they just thank You that You're faithful, You're good even when life's tough. You're good when people are mean. And I thank You, You're going to see them through. You're going to see them through. And I thank You for that. So I just lift them up. I pray for encouragement. Even as we share this time of communion together, I pray for miracles to manifest. Pray for peace. Lord, we receive grace today. We receive peace, healing, wholeness, wellness, like that one who came back to say thank You. Whatever the need is today, we look to You and we give You the glory, even in advance, and we say thank You in Jesus' name.